You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ignition sequence start.
Oh, I'll tell you, Olajuwon has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three in it.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer. Yeah!
Chris Paul puts it up.
Goes to Harden on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win, a three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook,
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. The Rockets are now on an 0-2 skid and 3-3 on the season after what will probably be one of the worst losses of the season, we hope. We hope that there's only room to improve from a loss like this in Miami, 129-100. And honestly, they played a little bit better in quarters 2, 3, and 4. Still not necessarily acceptable levels of performance from this team that we have championship aspirations for. But they were relatively even with Miami throughout the final three quarters. Rockets actually outscored Miami 32-25 in the second frame. It was 25-28 in favor of Miami in the third quarter, and then 29-30 in the fourth quarter. Granted, most of that fourth quarter was garbage time play for most of the Rockets' bench, including guys like Ryan Anderson and Chris Clemens, but they kept it close. It was that first quarter. It was coming out of the gate. Miami showed up and just dropped a bomb on Houston. That first quarter by Miami was unreal. 46-14 by the end of the first quarter. And I want to say that Daniel House actually had 7 of those 14 points. Maybe not quite 7. Maybe it was only 5 at that point. But Daniel House, who was brought off the bench in this game, Eric Gordon got the starting nod. Mike D'Antoni even said it pregame. He was planning to try and get Eric Gordon out of his funk. He knew that Eric Gordon was in a shooting slump, and he thought that putting him in the starting lineup, you know, would maybe get him a little bit of extra energy, a little extra oomph, and try to dig him out of that slump in that way. And it didn't really work. Eric was 0-5 from behind the arc. Just 2 of 10 overall, had 4 points, a couple turnovers, a block and a steal, and a rebound. It was a minus 23 in 23 minutes of action. So this Eric Gordon problem is pretty severe. He got his contract extension and suddenly forgot how to play basketball, which is strange because he looked good in preseason. Eric Gordon looked phenomenal in preseason. So what changed suddenly? Is it a mental block? Does he not really want to come off the bench anymore? I mean, it can't be that. He got the starting nod back. He got plugged back into the starting lineup. D'Antoni said, here you go. Here's your starting role again. Go out there and actually play basketball. And Eric Gordon just said, nah, man. I'm going to go out there and keep bricking three-pointers. So this Eric Gordon dilemma is pretty substantial. But not only Eric Gordon, Clint Capela as well. Clint Capela and Eric Gordon have been probably the two biggest issues for the Houston Rockets this season with their inconsistent play, mainly because even though everybody else, look, nobody is slander immune from this game, not even Harden, because even though Harden was 14-14 from the line, he finished with 29 points, had a handful of assists, a few rebounds here and there, 6 of 14 overall. It's just, he didn't he didn't get the team off to a good start. He got his over the course of the game, sure, but he was just as much to blame for that 46-14 first quarter, seeing as how he plays almost the entire first quarter. He's just as much to blame as everybody else is for the lackluster start to this game. But Eric Gordon and Clint Capela have been by far the biggest issues for the Rockets this season. And coming into the season, we thought the biggest issue was going to just be incorporating Russell Westbrook, who also had a horrendous game. But to this point, Westbrook's played acceptable levels of basketball. He's passed up bad shots to create good shots. He has taken more mid-range jumpers than we would like. There have been a couple games where he's taken more three-pointers than we would like, this one being one of them. He was one of six from behind the arc. Not great. But Westbrook has taken a step back and tried to incorporate himself into an existing system, an existing scheme, an existing offense without bringing all of his bad traits from Oklahoma City. He's still going to take some mid-range jumpers. He's still going to take some contested threes that aren't the best idea at the time. But that's just who he is. And we have seen him make smart decisions with the ball, passing up bad shots for good shots or passing up good shots for great shots. You know, a Westbrook wide open three is not a good shot, but you got to take it to keep the defense honest. We've seen him pass up wide open three pointers and hesitate for just a moment to get a defender running at him. And then boom, he passes it to the next guy, whether it's Gordon, Tucker, House, Rivers, Harden, doesn't matter. He's passed up good shots for great shots. So the blueprint is there with Russell Westbrook. But now the question is, can Clint Capela and Eric Gordon get back to some form of what we know them for? Because right now, neither of them have played any level of acceptable basketball up until this point. Clint Capela's had one good game. Eric Gordon has had zero good games. And it's really hard when two of your top six guys are struggling that much. And on top of that, to compound the issue, the Rockets have been the number one team offensively in the league, but they've also been the second to last defensively. So to compound the issue, when suddenly your offense starts faltering and your defense is still nowhere to be found, of course you're going to lose a game like this to the Miami Heat, who just decided that they weren't going to miss any shots from behind the arc. 18-41, teams continue to light up the Rockets. And it's really frustrating to look at defensive metrics on this, because if you go look at a defensive metric and it says, okay, was there a defender within 0 to 3 feet of the shooter? Counts as a contested shot, sure. But just based off the eye test alone, you can see that these guys are not really, and to quote Mike D'Antoni, right, they're not getting into their defenders. Or sorry, they're not getting into the offensive players. They're not making themselves be felt. They're not playing hard enough. They're not playing tough enough. They're playing soft. And it really irks me, because throughout the game, you can see points where they don't play soft. But for some reason, and this has been a historic thing with this team for years now, pretty much the entire Mike D'Antoni era, they come out of the gate a little slow, a little sluggish. Like, they're not really, I don't want to say not interested in the season, but they just kind of come out expecting to be a top-tier team without having put the work in. And right now, the work is they need defensive communication. They need to just try harder on defense. The scheme isn't going to be overhauled in the middle of the season. That's not going to happen. The switching is going to probably stay. And the Rockets are actually at their best in the tuck wagon lineup when they're running five out, because it provides spacing for Russell Westbrook. It allows him to do what he needs to do, and it allows him to drive the paint with no obstructions, no opposing players who can then collapse on him. That's when the Rockets are at their deadliest. So the scheme isn't going to switch. Clint Capela is probably going to get less minutes this time around for a two-part factor. One, because again, the Rockets are at their deadliest playing five out with PJ Tucker at the five. And they're even better defensively in that lineup. But the Eric Gordon and Clint Capela issues have to be resolved. And the Rockets are going to lose more games in the future if they just hope that these two players figure it out, maybe you need to bench Eric Gordon for a couple games. It's really hard to bench Clint Capela. You really need him in the starting lineup. He is the only player that you have with some semblance of size on the team besides Tyson Chandler and maybe Ryan Anderson. So you can't exactly bench Clint Capela as a, hey, you need to figure your stuff out. But Eric Gordon, maybe sit him for a couple games. Maybe he gets the message. Maybe he realizes that he really needs to get into the gym and practice getting shots up, because for a guy who is simply paid to be a sharpshooter and to be a scoring punch off the bench, he has provided none of that for the Houston Rockets this season. We'll keep talking about the Albatross loss to the Miami Heat here in a moment, but first, a quick message from our friends over at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand, and you can start your style upgrade now with $30 off of your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, that is code LOCKEDON at checkout. And we are back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, we're not back here to talk about a win, unfortunately. And for those who are wondering why we still didn't see the likes of Gary Clark or Isaiah Hartenstein in this ridiculous loss, blowout loss to the Miami Heat, it's because the Rockets actually just sent them both down to the G League affiliate, the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, because they start their season, I believe it's this Friday. And so they want to get their guys a few reps in with the rest of the squad, get them ready for the start of the Vipers season. So they were not on hand. We did get to see Chris Clemens, though, and Clemens was pretty good, honestly. In his limited, he got 22 minutes, shot 4 of 9 from behind the arc, had a couple free throws, got some rebounds, had a couple potential assists, a couple passes here and there that didn't quite connect with his teammates that they just maybe weren't ready for, or maybe were a little out of the scope of completion, we'll say. But he looked good, and he came in and he played with energy. And that's what bothers me so much about that first quarter with the Rockets, and I'm sure it bothers so many of you too, is that they come out and they just play with no sense of urgency. No sense of, oh, we really need to come out and actually start the game. The game starts at 5 today? I thought it started at 5:30. No, they don't come out and play with any sense of urgency. And they dig themselves into these holes, and then they have to try and fight to come out of them. Again, throughout quarters 2, 3, and 4, they were dead even or even ahead of Miami at times. In fact, they would have won the game if the first quarter didn't exist. Because they beat Miami by 7 points in the second quarter, they lost by 3 in the third, and then they lost by 1 in the fourth. So you do that math really quick, and they would have beaten Miami if that first quarter didn't exist. But it does. Miami came out right out of the gate with a gut punch, and Houston couldn't recover. And that's frustrating because it seems that it's a lack of energy at the start. It's a lack of effort. It's a lack of drive. Because it's not that Miami is going to be a incredible top-tier team this season. They'll probably even out. I have them pegged as probably a top 6 team in the East. Maybe top 4. So they're a good team, sure. But the Rockets are supposed to be one of the top-tier, one of the most elite teams in the league with this double MVP lineup of Russell Westbrook and James Harden, with this supporting cast that has been there and done that, has gone toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors, or the version of the Golden State Warriors that we were unfortunate enough to have faced the last few years, because the current iteration of the Warriors looks nothing like what we're used to seeing. It's honestly going to be like a bunch of YMCA ballers here in Houston this upcoming Wednesday, which is not their next game. They play tonight. This is Monday, November 4th. They play tonight against the Grizzlies, and we'll get a little bit more on that in the final segment. But this Rockets team is an older team. You've got 34-year-old PJ Tucker. You've got 30-year-olds Westbrook and Harden and Gordon. You've got Ryan Anderson, older. Daniel House is a little bit younger, 27. Tabo Sefolosha, 35. Tyson Chandler, 39? Somewhere near the back end of his career for sure. So when you've got youth on the bench that you can then intermingle with some of the older players, You should do that. And that's what bugs me so much about Mike D'Antoni, is his unwillingness to play anybody that is not, a proven talent in the NBA, which was nice to actually see Chris Clemens get a little bit of burn, because he played like he wanted to be out there, defensively and offensively. Clemens was out there hustling. He was out there trying his best because he wants to make a name for himself. He wants to carve himself a spot on this NBA roster. Ben McLemore, when Ben goes out there, he plays like he wants to actually be out there on the court. And then sometimes with our starters, Harden, Westbrook, Gordon, not really House. House is still playing like he's got some drive. House is still playing like he, even though he's got his guaranteed contract, House is playing like he wants to be there. But sometimes the body language of James Harden and Westbrook, Capella, maybe not Tucker. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell with Tucker because he's just, his role is so limited in its scope, where it's just play good defense, sit in the corner, wait for your threes. So it's a bit harder to tell with Tucker. But I think there's a key there. There's a key to mix in some of the youth that you have at your disposal, who in the past they've proven that they can play. Sure, in the preseason, Gary Clark looked a little rough around the edges. But a lot of that can stem from the fact that he's not getting reps with the actual starters. If you rolled a lineup out there of Gary Clark at the five spot, PJ Tucker at the four, Harden, Westbrook, and then take your choice of Gordon, Clark, McLemore, whatever you want, that's a five-out lineup that still has some length and some athleticism. And we saw it last year. Gary Clark is a phenomenal weak side helper on defense. If PJ Tucker's getting back down to the post from whoever the actual center is on the opposing team, and Gary Clark is the weak side defender, Gary Clark can come over and get a block or a steal or just be a good help defender. His defensive IQ is pretty good. And then offensively, what does he have to do on offense? The Rockets run such a simple offense. All he has to do is sit behind the three-point line and catch the ball and hit threes. Is he going to hit them at a high clip? Maybe not right out of the gate, but let the guy get some reps. And the same goes for Chris Clemens. Same for Ben McLemore. And it's been nice to see that D'Antoni has been trusting Ben McLemore a little bit more, because I think there's something there that McLemore can contribute. In this past game, he was 3 of 5 from behind the arc. He finished with 14 points. He was a plus 5. One of the higher plus minuses on the team. What do we got? We got Cephalosha with a plus 16, which is weird, actually. Anderson at plus 11. And then right there, Ben McLemore, plus 5. Everybody else was negative while they were on the court. And Ben goes out there and he plays with energy. And that's something that you really need out of not only your bench, but having some of that in the starting lineup is nice. Tucker plays with hustle and energy. So does Daniel House. So pulling him out of the starting lineup and having Eric Gordon, who's in the middle of a shooting slump, James Harden, who is still arguably in a shooting slump, even though he got his last night, he's still in a shooting slump. And then Russell Westbrook, who had his first really bad game as a Rocket this season. Again, Westbrook was 3 of 11, 1 of 6 from downtown, just 3 of 6 at the line. So his free throw shooting is... I want to go look at the overall numbers later on, but his free throw shooting is probably going to be suspect throughout the season. Just had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 turnovers from Westbrook. 7 turnovers. Harden had 6. Now, I know you're going to get a lot of turnovers from those guys, but if you're not also getting the assist numbers to back up or to justify those turnovers, their assist-to-turnover ratio is not going to be great. It's not going to be Chris Paul-esque. They're more in line with LeBron James. They handle the ball so much, not only trying to score it for themselves, but also trying to facilitate for teammates. They are going to turn the ball over, whether it's offensive fouls, whether it's just risky passes. They're going to get a handful of turnovers every single game, probably 4 to 5 for each of them. But those should be the only turnovers, really, that the Rockets face, because they both handle the ball so much that there's really no reason for anybody else to be committing turnovers. Clint Capella, a little bit, will get flagged for some turnovers because he has to handle those lob passes, and if he fumbles the lob pass, then the turnover gets credited to him. but there's no reason for the rest of the lineup. So James Harden, Russell Westbrook combined 13 turnovers last night, probably more than we would want. I think an acceptable number is a total of 10 between each of them. 10 turnovers between each of them, if they're both getting somewhere near double-digit assists, you can live with, because that's roughly a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. But the rest of the lineup, we've got Eric Gordon with a couple turnovers, Anderson, House, Cephalosha, each with one. Clemens had a couple, Rivers had a couple, total of 22 turnovers on the night. That's unacceptable, because there's no reason for the other guys in that lineup to be turning the ball over. They're not handling it nearly as much as the other guys, and when it's in their hands, they simply are either supposed to be shooting a three-point shot or driving to the bucket to score the ball. They're not really expected to facilitate for other people, at least not in the same level that James Harden and Russell Westbrook are. And we are back. Now, where do you even go from here? The Rockets, now again, it is early season, and there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for it's six games in. Are they 1-4? No. Is it an 11-14 start? No. Should they fire Mike D'Antoni? No. Do they need to fire Daryl Morey? No. No drastic changes need to be made as far as personnel. But there's something going on with this team that something just doesn't feel quite right. And whether that's because D'Antoni's lost the locker room, whether that's because the guys just aren't trying hard enough, whether that's because there's a disconnect between Westbrook and Harden and the rest of the team because they've got their buddy-buddy bromance that they've had for years. I don't know what it is. These are all just wild speculations, and I'm not putting stock into any of them just yet. But there's something going on there that this team just can't walk out and be dominant, because we've seen them do it. We've seen them have stretches of dominance. We've seen it against every team that they played so far except for Miami. The first five games of the season, they had stretches throughout the game, probably about a quarter to a quarter and a half, with the exception of the Bucks game where they looked dominant the entire first half. We've seen stretches where this team can be great. And that's why it's frustrating. It'd be one thing if the team just stunk it up right out of the gate and we were sitting at 1-5 or 0-6. The Russell Westbrook experiment blew up tremendously. That would be a lot easier to figure out, because we'd be able to point a finger at Russell Westbrook and say, hey, it's not working. And on that note, Russell Westbrook is going to be sitting out tonight against Memphis. And if the Rockets somehow bounce back and get a win against Memphis, I really do not want to jump on social media and see people slandering Russell Westbrook for the Miami Heat loss. There were so many problems well beyond just Russell Westbrook's performance in that loss that you cannot credit him for the entire meltdown of an entire team. That's just not fair to Westbrook. He's going to sit out tonight because he's probably not going to play back-to-backs right out of the gate because of the knee scope that he had in the offseason. But it's not fair to Russell Westbrook to say, oh yeah, the Miami Heat lost. You know, Westbrook didn't play against Memphis, a bottom-tier team in the league, and the Rockets eked out a win. Actually, I'll take that back. I hope they don't go in there and eke out a win. Memphis is a rebuilding franchise. Yeah, they've got Ja Morant, but they're a rebuilding organization, rebuilding franchise. They're bottom five in the league defensively, bottom 10 offensively. This is a pick-me-up win if I've ever seen it. On the second night of a back-to-back where you got your ass handed to you on the first night, the Rockets really need to come in and put Memphis away in the first quarter. Much the same way the Miami Heat did with the Rockets, they need to walk in there, lay down a haymaker, and then cruise for the rest of the game. Is that what's going to happen? The realist in me says probably not. The realist in me says the shooting struggles will probably continue. Do I think they're going to beat the Grizzlies? Yes. Do I think it's going to be a dominant win? No. I think they're going to go in there, and we're still going to see shooting struggles from some of the Rockets. Hopefully, Mike D'Antoni lets Chris Clemens get more burn with Russell Westbrook sitting out. Maybe he'll go even deeper into his bench, get Ryan Anderson some more minutes. We'll more than likely see more Ben McLemore, but this is a pick-me-up win. And you've got this game, and then you've got the Golden State Warriors coming to town on Wednesday, with an oddly timed tip-off because of the national broadcast schedule. So tip-off is at 6:30 p.m. here in Houston this Wednesday for the Golden State Warriors and their YMCA squad plus Draymond Green if he's playing with that minor hand injury. So you've got a couple pick-me-up wins. And after these two wins, the Rockets should be sitting at 5-3. And it's still early season. These kinks can be ironed out. But the defensive communication, the breakdowns on that side of the court, Elson Turner needs to jump in there and figure something out. And the problem is, with Mike D'Antoni at the helm, you're not going to bench James Harden or Russell Westbrook for blowing a defensive assignment. What you have to do is you have to have the guys around them ready and willing and understanding the fact that their two lead guys are going to have some defensive lapses at times. We don't expect Russell Westbrook or James Harden to be lockdown defenders. We know what they are. We know what they bring to the table. And they're the guys that keep this offensive engine running. The offensive engine that's still ranked number one in the NBA. Even after last night's stinker, the Rockets are still number one in the NBA. That's saying something. You can put up 100 points well below your average and still be number one in points per game. I don't have the O rating in front of me, unfortunately. So with that being said, they need guys around them in positions to help them out because we know what they bring to the table. They bring a dynamic powerhouse offense to the table. But defensively, it's suspect at times. So you need guys like PJ Tucker, like Clint Capella, like Austin Rivers, like Daniel House, Ben McLemore, who's not known as a lockdown defender but provides energy on both sides of the basketball. You need guys who can be in the right spots and who understand the right reads and the calls to make and the right switches to help when the defensive breakdowns do happen. Now, obviously, you don't want a breakdown to happen. The breakdowns in communication between Harden and Westbrook and the rest of the team as far as these switches go, we saw a number of those last night. We saw a ridiculous amount of cutting to the basket. The number of just wide open, it was like a layup line at times for the Miami Heat because all they had to do was fake like they were running a pick and roll action at the top, and then the big would just dive straight to the rim, or just the off-ball cutting. Guys would be sitting at the three-point line and then just cut to the rim. And Rockets defenders were just a half step too slow. You know, maybe that was the nightlife out in South Beach Saturday night headed into Sunday. Maybe it was because of the early tip-off at 5 p.m. Whatever it may have been, it's unacceptable. We expect more from this team. And I don't think that's unreasonable to expect the Rockets to perform to the level that we hold them to. We were told this is a championship caliber team, and so far, it hasn't looked that way. It hasn't looked like a championship caliber team. It's looked like a team that has ranked number one offensively and number 29th defensively, which is a very middling type team. That is a middle of the pack team, because you can't go anywhere with that. You have to start on the defensive side of the ball, and you have to instill those principles and get the team on the same page defensively. Because there's going to be times when shots don't fall offensively. There's going to be times when James Harden has a rough night, or Eric Gordon has a rough night, or Capella just can't get it going, or Westbrook has a stinker. And sometimes those nights are going to coalesce and all happen at the same time. And when that happens, you have to be able to rely on your defense to get you through some of those stretches. Maybe it's a stretch in a game where, oh, I don't know, you shoot 0 for 27 from behind the three-point line. It'd be real nice to have some defense that can hold you through a stretch like that. That was a low blow, but this Miami Heat game has me a bit riled about just the effort level from the Rockets, which is why it was nice to see guys like Ben McLemore, Chris Clemens, Austin Rivers, guys who come in and They play like they want to be out there on the court. And that's all you can ask. You ask that the team plays with energy and effort and hustle, and the rest will come. If you're out there playing your best brand of basketball, if you're out there trying to play your best brand of basketball, the rest will come. But right now, I don't think that any of the Rockets can say any of the, we'll say any of the top six. I don't think any of them can go out there and say that they've been playing their best possible version of basketball on both offense and defense, because there's been too many communications breakdowns, too many issues, too many blown assignments. When Myers Leonard goes off for, what was his stat line? When he scores 21 points on you, 9 of 11 shooting, you know you've done something wrong. When, what is this guy's name again? Duncan Robinson. When Duncan Robinson shoots 7 of 11 from behind the three-point arc against your team, scores 23 points, you know you've done something wrong defensively. It seems like every night there is some no-name player on the opposing team that has a career-high night against the Houston Rockets. And with a bottom two defense in the league, it's extremely possible. You just walk in and you just know that you're going to have an easy time against the Rockets right now, and that's not acceptable. That is not a championship caliber team, and that has to change moving forward. It starts with the defense, and that's Mike D'Antoni's task as the head coach. And as an offensive-minded head coach, it is a monumental task, because he can't just turn this over to Elson Turner and say, fix it. It was one thing with Jeff Pezelik, which we spoke about this a little bit last night at the Rockets Twitter party gathering, which, based on how rough this loss was, we probably won't do for a while. We're just going to, you know, hashtag blame Ben for this loss. But we spoke about it a little bit last night, that a lot of the defensive credit that is given to Jeff Pezdelic should probably be given to Chris Paul. Chris Paul, for all intents and purposes, is like having a coach on the floor, having a floor general like Chris Paul, not only on the offensive end, where, yeah, we know what he brings offensively, but defensively, Chris Paul is a coach on the floor. He's coaching, he's yelling at people, getting them in the right spots, calling out reads, calling out plays. His IQ is through the roof. Now, are we going to sit here and say that just because we traded Chris Paul, suddenly the Rockets can't play defense? No. Just because Chris Paul's gone doesn't mean this team can't play defense. But it does mean that they're missing one of their vocal elements of defense on the court, which means other guys have to step up. PJ Tucker, and we've seen it time and time again, whether it's in a Rockets jersey, or there was that great clip from USA Basketball where PJ was saying, you know, he was communicating the entire defensive possession. He was constantly shouting at guys, saying, I got this, you got this, move up, shade left, whatever it was. He was calling things out like crazy. And I would imagine that Chris Paul was also doing some semblance of that. Maybe not quite as aggressively as PJ Tucker was, and maybe not calling out quite as many reads. But for a defense like the Rockets that relies on so much switching, it's important, it is imperative to be vocal about your switches. Jeff Pezelik had the mantra where you would touch, feel, see, vocalize. I forget the exact mantra, but it was a great plan for this Rockets team, where anytime they switched, they would touch the back of their teammate to let them know that they were switching. They would vocalize it. They had these steps that were in place to make sure that these switches occurred properly. Now, whether or not they've continued doing that, I don't know. It's hard to tell. But based on the defensive breakdowns, there has to be something that changes on that side of the basketball. And it's not going to be the scheme. It just needs to be that the scheme gets hammered home further. Because if you can get guys to commit to this scheme, we've seen it work. We've seen it work wonders. Now, is every team the Golden State Warriors? Do you need a switching defense against the entire rest of the NBA? Not necessarily. But with so many teams playing five out, with so many teams with shooters around the three-point line now, a switching defense can work and has worked, but you have to commit to it, and you can't have the breakdowns that are letting guys like Myers Leonard go off for 20-plus points against your team, having a layup line at the basket. Again, the Rockets face the Memphis Grizzlies tonight in Memphis, 7 p.m. tip-off, I believe. This game and the Warriors game on Wednesday back here in Houston are absolute must wins for the team. Playing this version, this brand of basketball that they have been playing, we don't know when they're going to iron out these problems, and so you have to rack up the wins against the bad teams when you can. Because right now, I don't like the Rockets' chances against the top-tier teams in the league. When they get to the Utah Jazzes, the Clippers, when they have to start facing teams like the Lakers, hell, the Mavericks are going to scare me a little bit. Luka just lights up the Rockets whenever he plays them. Right now, I'm not favoring their chances against some of the better teams in the league. So against Memphis, against the underhanded Golden State Warriors, you've got to take care of business. So hopefully that's what we see from the team tonight. The shooting will regress to the mean. The shooters will eventually find their shot. I don't think Eric Gordon is broken. He's not going to continue to shoot zero from behind the three-point line for the rest of time. But he's got to get into a rhythm. And I don't think plugging him into the starting lineup, I don't think that decision by Mike D'Antoni was the right decision to try and get a shooter out of a slump. I think that he just needs to, it's too much to just say, or it's not enough to just say continue shooting, because you can't just continue shooting and be a detriment to your team. But maybe he needs to drive the ball more. Maybe he just needs to see the ball go into the bucket a couple times from close range rather than continuing to jack up three-point shots. In the last two games combined, he shot 0 of 12 from behind the arc, and he only had two makes from inside the arc. So maybe he just needs to get the ball into the paint more, score more from an easy vantage point, get some fouls, get to the free throw line, see the ball go in the bucket, try to get his rhythm back. But these next two games are absolute must-wins for the Rockets. And I think that's where we're going to go ahead and leave things off for today, this Monday, November 4th. As always, thank you for tuning in. And if you want more content before our next show, social media is where it's at. I'm on there at JT Gatlin, our special correspondent and Rockets Twitter party organizer, who is now in timeout for organizing Twitter parties for the time being. Mr. Ben DuBose is on there at Ben DuBose. And the show is on there, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/lockedonrockets, the website lockedonrockets.com, and lastly, our email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways to consume content about your Houston Rockets. You can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries. Really, in general, it's just a way for you to let me know if there's anything that we can do to improve this experience for you, our listeners. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts at, if you could just take a moment to subscribe and rate the show. That's how you get the benefit of episodes straight to your inbox before they are published to the previously mentioned social media outlets. And then we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, for this Monday, November 4th, this is where we break things. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.